there to listen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Well, glory to God. God's a good God, isn't he? Amen.
Good to see you here tonight. Appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. Hope that you're doing well. Hope you're doing as well as you look, because you look mighty, mighty good tonight. So we just thank God for that. It's good to be feeling the blessings and the anointing of God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read in the book of St. Luke, the second chapter. You don't have to stand for this, because I want to read this, and then I'm going to lead into what the Lord has laid upon my heart tonight. And so if you can remain seated if you want to, and then we'll read this. And it's the familiar, some refer to it as the Christmas story, but I believe it goes into much more material than that. And I just pray that the Lord would lead us tonight to bring what we feel that he's laid upon our heart. In St. Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your precious and holy word, for those who've gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you would just bless and anoint each and every one that's here tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you just open up that window of heaven. God, pour out an anointing upon us tonight. I pray, God, that you would lead us and guide us, direct us, Lord, in the path that you would have us to go. We do remember those who are sick. Many are afflicted. God, I pray that you would touch, heal, and God, just anoint those bodies tonight. Father, we pray, God, that you would be with them and bless them. Those, Lord, who are lost and undone, Father, we pray a very special prayer on their account. God, I pray that you send revival spirit in their lives, God, to prick their heart, convict their soul, bring them to an altar of repentance. Now, Father, we just ask for your leadership tonight. God, anoint these lips of clay, God, that we might speak that you've laid upon our heart. We'll be so careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you love the Lord with all your heart, let him know it. Give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Glory to God. If I had a message title tonight, it would simply be "The Night the Angels Sang." The Night the Angels Sang. We read this story. We hear this read so many times at the Christmas season, and it's beautiful. I would not want to celebrate a Christmas without reading the story of the birth of Christ, because that's what it's all about anyway. All the other stuff, the commercialism that comes into it, that's all well and good, but the true story and the true meaning of Christmas is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thought about the remarkable event that took place on the night that Christ was to be born, and how that it was announced from heaven, even in the book of Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah in the 9th chapter, verse number 6 said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So it was already prophesied for this great birth and to be announced again on this wonderful night that we take to celebrate Christmas. A remarkable thing happened as the shepherds were in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, you know, as we read that, we think that it just hypothetically or just kind of luckily landed on a few shepherds that were out in the field, but some hold to the fact that the shepherds that actually witnessed this wonderful and glorious account were in fact the shepherds that tended to the flock of the temple. They were still offering sacrifices at that time prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, who became the propitiation and the mediator between us and God. So they still offered sacrifice under the Mosaic law. And some would hold the fact that this particular group of shepherds were basically, if you want to use the word employed, are for the temple, keeping the flock and making sure that the flock was ready. And two, if you read into it in a lot of detail, they took particular, care, I guess, of the ones that were brought up, because the lambs that they produced to the temple had to be without spot and without blemish. And what a type and shadow that is for the supreme sacrifice that Jesus Christ himself was. Nobody else could qualify to take on the sins of the world except one that was without spot and without blemish. So it was a remarkable event. And then I was thinking about the shepherds as they were there, and this event happened, and this angel came unto them. And first of all, the angel knew that there was fear there. So he said, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be out to all people." And then he announces the birth of Christ. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," let me just pause right there. What do you think you would feel if an angel suddenly came and just began to announce something? And I mean, wouldn't that be remarkable in itself? I mean, just imagine you were just out doing whatever it is that you're doing, and the angel comes to you and begins to announce something as great and as important as the birth of our Lord and Savior. And then not only while that angel is talking to you, then a heavenly host of angels. The Bible doesn't say how many it was, but imagine it was a pretty good number of angels that suddenly appeared and begin to sing this song. And I thought about this. I, you know, of all the wonderful things that happened up to this particular point, let's go back in the book of Genesis, and let's talk about Moses when he saw the fire in the burning bush. There was no angel singing at that particular time. It was a great event. It was a wonderful and spectacular miracle that the Spirit of God saw fit to speak to Moses from the burning bush. But the angels didn't come to sing about that. And what about when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and when they came to the Red Sea? Certainly the move and the power of God was strong enough to push back the waves of that sea and make a parted a pathway for them to walk, the Bible says, on dry ground. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that God not only made a way, but he also dried up the ground that they was able to walk? But I don't read in the Bible where the angels sang that particular time, but it was a glorious event, a wonderful miracle performed by God himself. Even when David went out to fight the giant Goliath, and God was truly on his side, and, you know, he came to the giant, and the giant said, "I'm going to, you know, feed you to the fowls of the air and all." And David said, "You know what? You come to me with spear and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." And David was victorious, a wonderful time. I believe God directed that stone that landed on the giant's head, and he was able to go, in fact, and cut Goliath's head off. But I don't recall reading about any angels singing. It was a remarkable event, a wonderful miracle performed by God, but did not hear the angels singing, or did not hear or read anything about the angels singing. And we go on and on and on, the many things that happened, and the wonderful miracles that were wrought by God himself. Battles were won, walls were falling down around Jericho, and the children of Israel were able to march in and be victorious. But yet we don't hear or read of any of the angels coming down and even announcing the miracle or singing. So this particular event, in my mind, supersedes all the miracles that God had done. And they're great. We need to praise God, and we need to thank God. Why? Because God is still a miracle-performing God. I believe that with all of my heart. You know, we don't see these miracles because we're not really believing for these miracles. God's still just as real, still just as powerful as he ever was. And I thank God for all the miracles. I thank for all the things that he's done, for the healings that he does today, for the many times that he opens doors. It's remarkable hearing or reading the text as we were out in Alabama, and we were seeing the text for Sister Lisa's husband, and some said he fell approximately 40 feet from a tree that he was working in or something. And, you know, Brother Jim and myself said, "You know what? A lot of people don't live through something like that." Not only did he live, but she was texting the church and thanking God for the prayers because he was making remarkable progress. I know he's had a few setbacks here and there, but still, the very fact that he's able to to be as good a condition as he is now, she attributes that to God. God is still a miracle-performing God. How many knows that God still answers prayer? Amen. Amen. Never discount the fact that God answers prayer, and we pray for these things and these wonderful things. But even in that miracle, I didn't hear any angels sing. You know, all of the miracles that God has done so many things. He let my son live, but I never heard the angels singing. But this particular event, as I said, it rises above every miracle. It rises above the things that God did when he split the Red Sea. It rises above David being victorious over Goliath. It rises above the three Hebrew children coming out of the fiery furnace. Even Daniel spending the night in a den of lions. And all of that is great and wonderful. But again, this particular night, God saw fit to send a heavenly host of angelic ministries. Amen. That's what they were. And I thought about the angels and how they probably couldn't wait to share the wonderful and glorious good news that was happening that night in a little stable as Jesus Christ himself was born, the Son of God. Amen. The sacrificial lamb, the one that it made it possible for our sins to be removed, for our sins to be redeemed. No wonder the angels were singing. Now, let's fast forward it a little bit. Because a lot of people read that and they say, well, the angel said, you know, basically here that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And many of those people began to say, oh, we're going to have peace forevermore on the earth. And then we begin to see there's still wars, and there's been continuous wars from the time even before Christ and after Christ. So the angels' news or the broadcast that said peace on earth, some people might misread that and say, well, wait a minute. Were the angels wrong? The angels were not wrong. Amen. They were directed from God. They knew what they were talking about. We still see turmoil. We still witness terror. We witness a lot of things in the earth that natural eyes would look at and say, how can it be peace? And how can it be goodwill toward men? Because we're living in a day and hour when it seems like there's anything but goodwill toward men. We got fighting, we got quarreling, we got grumbling, we got dissatisfaction, we got turmoil, we got all these things in the world. But again, the angels did not misrepresent God's promise. Because I believe that the peace that the angels were singing about, I imagine the melody and the harmony was so wonderful that night. No wonder the angel or the shepherd stood speechless and didn't know what was happening when this multitude of heavenly hosts began to sing in one mind and one accord. And let me tell you something. We think about that being wonderful, but that's just a little prelude. Because how many knows one of these days we're going to sing with the angels. Glory to God. We're going to have a new body, a glorified body. We're going to be able to sing. And I believe we're going to, some songs say we're going to sing a song that the angels cannot even sing. But this night the angels begin to sing, one mind and one accord. And the message that they proclaimed was peace on earth and goodwill toward men. They didn't say there wouldn't be no more wars. They didn't say there wouldn't be no more turmoil. There would be no more strife. But they said there would be peace. And I believe the peace that they were talking about, and I understand and know the peace that they're talking about, was peace with God. And really, that's better than no more wars, if you think. You know, war is terrible. I understand that. But the ability and the benefit and the privilege of having peace through the turmoil, peace through the turbulence, peace through the wars, peace through all of these other things, peace that we could not get without the infilling of the comfort or the Spirit of the Lord, amen, who came down and said, you know what? I'm going to give you peace even in the most terrible times, in the trials that you're going to face. You're going to have peace, and you will have goodwill toward men. How many knows that Christian folks ought to have goodwill toward men, to everybody, amen? We ought to be good to them. The Bible talks about being good to your neighbor and loving your neighbor, and even those that spitefully use you, and even those that persecute you, love them. Jesus Christ was a premier example, the perfect example, because not only did he love them, but he forgave his enemies. He forgave those who would do him bodily harm. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had that perfect peace. Jesus had the perfect peace, even when he died on the cross of Calvary, because he knew that the peace was a spiritual thing, a spiritual infilling. And that peace is, that God gives us, there's no amount of money that you could spend to receive that kind of peace. So no wonder the angels were singing. No wonder they were so excited to come and announce this glorious event. And all because of this little baby born of a virgin Mary, the Son of God, the propitiation, I said, the go-between, the mediator between us and God. God wanted us to have that peace. He wanted us to have that security. He wanted us to have that salvation through the sacrificial lamb of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was born, and we celebrate that wonderful thing, but also know that what his destiny was. His destiny, even when he was born in that little manger, in the little stable there, his destiny was to die a cruel, cruel death on the cross of Calvary. But it had to be so in order for us to receive peace. And the reason I know this peace is synonymous with the peace that the prophets prophesied, the peace that the angels sang about, and the glorious song of peace that night that they proclaimed. And I can only imagine. There's places that you read, and I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been there to hear that wonderful song that they sang. I would imagine that it would probably make the hair stand up on the back of your head, the beautiful, beautiful song that they sang. But the reason I knew that the peace that they was talking about was not a peace that gets rid of war, or a peace that gets rid of strife, or a peace that gets rid of turmoil, is because Jesus said himself in St. John chapter number 14 and verse number 26 and 27. This is where the true peace comes from. Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Then he leaves this with all of his followers and his disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So those people that maybe misinterpret what the angel said, oh, there's going to be peace on this earth. Why isn't there peace on this earth? There is. It's just not the peace, amen, that you see in the turmoil of the world. The peace that Christ was talking about was the peace that he had. The peace that he had even when they crucified him, even when they mocked him, even when they plucked his beard, even when they spit upon him and called him a blasphemer and all of those things. He still had that wonderful peace about him, because the peace that he had was from the Father. It wasn't the fleshly peace. Excuse me. That so many of us think about, or so many people think about today. But he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." That's what the angels were excited about. That's what the angels were singing about. You're going to have the peace, the very peace that God has instilled into his Son Jesus Christ, into that fleshly part of God, because God is a spirit and God could not bleed. And there had to be blood atonement. God did not change that. It had to come from that union of man and God in the form of Jesus Christ, who became flesh, who died on the cross of Calvary, who shed his blood to give us that peace. So this Christmas season, when you think about the turmoil in the world, when you think about the unsettling disturbances all over the world today, understand and know that even in these turbulent times, we can still have peace. Peace enough to know that when you lay down at night and you close your eyes and go to sleep, you've got that peace that you're not worried about eternity. You're not worried whether you even wake up tomorrow, because if you don't, you know that you have that peace. And that peace that passeth all understanding, that is the peace that the angels talked about that night. That's the song that they sung. Oh, I don't know the words. I don't know what they sang that night, but I believe with all of my heart it was such a peaceful and tranquil time as they begin to glorify God. Excuse me. Sinuses are draining a little bit. And even in sinus and sinusitis, you can have peace. Amen. Glory to God. The world doesn't see that. And I've talked to so many people. And even some of the programs, they talk about, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I remember seeing one particular documentary, and it was saying, you know, why would the Bible talk about peace and all of these wars and things still going on? And you think about it, there's been wars, but the Bible said there would be wars and rumors of wars. And when you see these things come to pass, what? Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, How can you have that ability to look up and know that redemption draweth nigh? Thank you, sister. That redemption draweth nigh, and you see in all this other thing, it's because the peace that you know where you're going to spend eternity. Nobody can take that away from you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious to know that we have that type of peace? I'll read it one more time. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I leave you with this. Can any of you think of a time when it was not a peaceful event, but somehow you had peace? The peace that the Comforter gave you. Maybe it was something the doctor told you. Maybe it was something that your boss said. Maybe it was something that happened and it was out of your control or something. But even though, if you hadn't had that peace of God, it could have been devastating. It could have been very, very traumatic. But you had that peace of God. And that peace of God took over and gave you that peace even in turbulent times. Would anybody like to stand and testify about a time like that? Can you think? Well, I try to get... Yes, ma'am. Like comforting. Amen. And that's the reason I think that the angels sang, because they knew that that event that was taking place was going to be for humanity from now on. That you could have that overwhelming comfort, that overwhelming peace that only would be possible because of Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. So I think it was more than just that peaceful night that happened when Christ was born. I think it was with the peace that is extended to us. Someone else want to share? I thought I saw a hand or two go up.
When my father died, not only had peace about dying and where he was going, but peace that everything was going to be okay with the family. It was just, I was sad he was gone, but it was, this is going to sound terrible. I wasn't devastated. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Right.
I'm not old Lord, because I'm close to both my parents, but I was closer to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I got peace from him.
That's so true. I've often said, how do people handle the death of a loved one without the Comforter of his spirit? Because it's hard enough even with the Comforter of the spirit, but you know that you have that peace. And people that don't know Christ, how do they handle those situations? I think I've shared this with you, and I'll try to be brief and quick if a preacher can be. But... my granddaddy, you hear me talking about him all the time, the founding pastor of this church, and just, he was my next door neighbor. He was my Kevin's babysitter, and we were just very, very close. And then, of course, he got sick and passed away, and it was devastating to the church. It was devastating to us. It was devastating to Kevin, believe it or not. Kevin grieved for about 3 weeks after it was Papa. We call him affectionately Papa. And I was still in the bread business then and getting up really, really early. So I usually went to bed fairly early. And most of the time I'd go to bed, way before Penny did. And sometimes she would come in and go to the bathroom or something, that's what I thought had happened, because I was lying there and I was asleep, and all of a sudden I was kind of awake, and then I thought she had come in, but the door didn't open. And I thought that was unusual. And believe it or not, as strange as it may seem, it was this aura, this glow was at the foot of the bed. And of course, I wear glasses, so I was doing this and almost reaching for my glasses, and I said, Penny? And nobody answered, and nobody went into the bathroom. And then it's almost like that just kind of sat on the foot of the bed. And it wasn't an audible voice, it wasn't a loudspeaker or a roar or anything, but it was impressed in my mind, son, everything's going to be all right. And my granddaddy's words were that. That's what he would say. He even though I was his grandson, anytime I had an issue or problem, I'd go to him, and he'd share with me, he'd pray, and he said, son, everything's going to be all right. That was just his words. And as soon as that was impressed in my mind, that whatever at the foot of bed was gone. And I don't know, I can't explain it, I don't know how it happened, but I believe God let me have the peace to know that there would be some part of my granddaddy that was with me, not physically. I'm not saying there's a ghost that follows me around except the Holy Ghost, but something, you know, was put into my heart and into my conscience that night, and I'll never forget it. I mean, it scared me to start with, to be honest with you, because, I mean, how do you identify something that's like at the foot of bed? But then after those words were impressed in my mind, it was such, just like you said, just a calm, just a peace, just flowing, just, you know. And so I think that's what the angels were singing about. They were singing, you know what? It's not going to just be for you shepherds, but it's going to be for that generation, that next generation, and Sister Jenya and Sister Lori and Brother Eddie and all of those people. No wonder they were singing such a happy song, because of the glorious event that took place that night. It was not just because a baby was being born, but a Savior was being born, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Anybody else tonight would like to share with us?
I have one.
Yes, ma'am. Praise God.
And I went home and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'll wait for you to answer. You'll say yes or you'll say no. And either way, I'll be fine with that. And it wasn't, but not very much longer after that, I was sitting in church just like this, and I was praying. Nobody knew but me and God. And I was praying, Lord, I just want an answer. I just want to know one way or the other. Immediately, the pastor, stood there and he said, there's a woman in this church. He had no idea what I was praying.
Right.
There's a woman in this church that wants to have a child. And God is going to answer that prayer.
Praise God.
And not only is he going to answer that prayer, but your child will be a boy. I opened my eyes and I looked and I saw women that had a lot of children and had no care about having any more children. But I always
sure.
And so I found out later on, I started getting sick, and I just forgot about that somehow. And I started getting sick and all this stuff, and so we found out that I was pregnant. But after we timed it out, I found out that when that doctor was telling me no, God had already made it so.
Praise God.
16 weeks I was pregnant when I found out. And so God had already made it so. But it was that peace.
Absolutely.
And you just say, God, whatever your will is, I accept that, then you will have that peace.
Amen.
That peace, that joy, that righteousness, and it comes with the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remarkable. Isn't it wonderful? That's precious. And we've heard of other counts. We had a couple in the church, and also Sister Lori's youngest daughter, when the doctors say no, but God says yes. And that's the reason it's so wonderful to know that let your faith not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, because God, what's the song? He likes to work when nothing else will. You know, I mean, that gives us that wonderful peace. So guard that peace. Be thankful for that peace. Cherish that peace that God has given us, because the whole world hadn't got it. They hadn't got it. If they don't have the Lord, they hadn't got it. They may think that they have peace, but true, real peace only comes from a relationship with the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? Well, if you would stand tonight. If you have a prayer request or a need tonight, this altar is open. You can come forward. We'll certainly pray with you and know that God is able to heal, to anoint, to make a way. Amen, even when there seemeth no way. Anyone tonight? Okay. Sure. There's one answered right there. Yeah.
But now we want to see our grandchildren.
Sure, amen.
They love us. They know us. They love their father. They know him. But he's been denied that. And I want God to move.
Amen.
In that situation. And I want him to give him peace about that situation.
Praise God. That same God that answered your prayer request, same God is able to do that. So let's agree in the name of the Lord tonight that God's going to work that out and you're going to be able to get to see those children. Amen. Let's just all agree in prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come, God, on behalf of this brother, Father, I pray, God, that you would join this family together. We know that nothing is impossible with you. God, I pray, Lord, that your will be done in that matter. God, honor the faith of this family right now, God, and reach out to them. God, I ask you to wrap your loving arms around those three precious children, God. I pray, Lord, that they'll be reunited, God, with their family. God, and I pray for this entire body tonight, this entire church. God, thank you, Lord, that we can experience that peace, the peace that the angels sing about. And Father, we thank you for these testimonies of praise tonight, too, Father. And we ask you, Lord, this to bless and anoint those who are still sick, those who are still suffering. God, I ask, Lord, that you promote healing into their bodies. Ask you to protect us. Keep us, Lord, through this season. God, keep us safe from all harm and danger. And, Lord, we'll look to you to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Love you. Hope you'll be here for the weekend. If not, have a very Merry Christmas and a happy, happy, happy New Year.